is the one the Holy Spirit wants to talk about, at least in that time. And so I want to talk and continue to talk with you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, we talked about it last week, talked about how the phrase, the baptized in the Holy Spirit, is a Bible phrase. It's a Bible phrase. It's not something some guy cooked up somewhere. It's not something that's the fruit of the Pentecostal movement or something like that from the 1900s. It is actually a Bible phrase that Jesus was baptized in water, and then he was baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of his water baptism. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. In Acts chapter 2, you know, we talked a little bit last week about how in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, now guys, you go and hang out in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And they immediately ask a question to divert that topic. You know, it's interesting to me. Anytime the Lord is wanting to do something new with the Holy Spirit, the temptation of the enemy and the flesh is to always ask the other question. I found that to still be true. When God's got you on track for something and he's taking you somewhere, there's always the possibility of distractions. And usually, it comes in the form of questions about things that have nothing to do with what God's talking to you about. You see examples of that in the Scripture, and I reviewed some of those last week. One is the woman at the well. Another was a Syrophoenician lady whose daughter was demonized out the wazoo, and she came to Jesus, and he said to her, look, I was sent to the house of Israel, not to you. And she said, yeah, well, she didn't get offended, and she just continued to press in and said, well, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table, and boom, her daughter got set free. There's something about our dynamic as human beings and sentient beings and people who have an own mind and will, that there's something about our nature, I think it has to do with original sin and the fall of man, that when God is talking to us about one thing, we tend to think about something else. And we tend to ask questions about things he's not talking about. One of the most important things you'll ever learn in life is to be talking to God about what God's wanting to talk to you about. It's a huge issue. Now, I know we a lot of times talk about how God, you know, hears our prayers and he's wanting to talk to us about whatever's on our heart. And I think there's times that's true. But there are times when God's wanting to talk to you about what's on his heart, and we need to be listening to him to talk to him about what he wants to talk about. I learned a long time ago, if you'll be busy doing what God's interested in doing, it comes with blessing. You don't have to pray and ask God to bless what he's doing. Amen. Am I going too fast? I said one of the things I've learned is, you know, a lot of times let me say it differently. We really, oh God, come bless this or bless that or this project or this business endeavor or this thing or that thing or the other thing. Lord, bless, 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 bless. And we pray and we cry out and we ask God to bless what we're doing. But I'll tell you something, if you'll just be busy about figuring out what God's doing, do what he's doing, be led by the Holy Spirit, you don't have to worry about blessing. It comes with it. Like outreach. I was going there. God wants to touch our community. And let me tell you something. I know people need to get saved, but people don't just need to say a prayer so they feel good about life. They need to meet God. They need to be the living God. And do you know where the living God lives? The living God lives in you and he lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in you and he lives in me. And if people are going to meet God, they're going to meet him in us. He's not Casper the Friendly Ghost floating around in the atmosphere somewhere. That is not God. God, if he's going to do any work, he's going to do it through us. He's going to use his church. If God's going to touch the neighborhoods, he's going to use his church in many, many different kinds of ways. Not just our outreach. It's your neighbors. It's your friends. It's how you live your life. It is living a life filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So we talked about in Acts chapter 2 how the apostolic band and then others, a total of 120, we're gathered in the upper room when day of Pentecost was fully come. Holy Spirit came as a sound of a rushing mighty wind. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire sat on them. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. declaring the glories of God. It's a wonderful experience. Out of that experience, it was so noisy. It was such a disruption in the city of Jerusalem that people gathered and thought it was just a crowd of drunk people. Really? Now think about this. And Peter stood up and said, "These are not drunk like you are thinking they are, because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the morning. It's morning now. It might be a good time for the Holy Spirit to fall on this church." Anyway, and Peter stood up and preached, and some 3,000 people believed in Jesus that day and were converted. And then we get in the book of Acts then, is the story, up through about chapter 9, is the story of the emerging church and the kinds of things God was doing in the emerging church and how that emerging was happening under the influence and direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the church didn't come into the world to preach an anemic gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a life-changing word. It's life-changing. That gospel is backed up by the power of the Holy Spirit in demonstration and power. Now, I'm just going to share some scriptures with you, because throughout the book of Acts, this idea of being baptized in the Holy Spirit shows up. Sometimes it's used in phrases like being filled with the Holy Spirit. For instance, in Acts chapter 4, after they had been persecuted by the Jews, it says they were gathered and they are all in one mind and one accord, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. Do you know what? Even though you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be filled again. I always tell people kind of humorously, the reason we need many fillings is because we leak. Just think about it. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 14 in Samaria, that Peter and John heard. They heard what was going on in Samaria and Philip's revival. They went up there, they laid their hands on people, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we got that great story where the Gentiles came into the church in Acts chapter 10. But before that happened, the guy who's going to become Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute people who were believing in Jesus. And the Lord appeared to him on the side of the road in Acts chapter 9. And he was knocked off, made blind. And a guy named Ananias went to him and said, "Saul, the Lord Jesus whom you saw on the road has asked me to come and lay my hands on you that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then in Acts 10, Cornelius was a Roman centurion. He was the leader of a band of Roman soldiers, but he was a devout man. He worshiped God. His alms, the Bible actually says that his prayers and his offerings had come up before God as a memorial. That's not even Memorial Day. But his prayers and his offerings had come up before God as a memorial. It got God's attention. Sometimes we have God so big that we don't think he's paying attention to the little things. But he is. And then sometimes we think God's busy about trying to micromanage everything. And God's not a micromanager. He gave you authority. But he is God. And in Cornelius' case, now understand, this is the first Gentile. This is a first. Acts could be called a book of firsts. You know, the first people that lied to God about their offerings they brought to church that day fell over dead. Well, maybe that's another sermon. You know, it's a book of first. First baptism of the Holy Spirit in the crowd in Acts 2. You know, Gentiles that were converted in Acts chapter 10. But it says while Peter was preaching the gospel. And I got to tell you, in Peter's case, it took an open vision from God to get him to the place to accept the will of God for his life. I don't have time to talk about all that, but he gets to Cornelius' house. He gets over there and he begins to and of course, Peter always took witnesses with him because he's going into Gentile country. He gets over there, he announces the good news, preaches the gospel, and the scripture says, and while he yet spoke, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his whole household. And in verse 44, it says the Holy Spirit fell, but in verse 46, Peter says, well, we heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. What should we forbid baptism of water to them? The same sign that was given in Acts chapter 2 on the initiation of the church is the same sign that was given in Cornelius' household for the initiation of the Gentiles into the church. This business of the Holy Spirit falling and them speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. I wonder why it is that in our minds we have such resistance to the idea of speaking with tongues. Of course, like all things, I have an opinion. I just think it's we don't like to surrender control. And we're afraid we're going to be embarrassed, or we're afraid of something. Most of the time, fear stops you from anything worthwhile. It's usually fear is the thing that's going to stop you from participating in or doing anything worthwhile. It's not another emotion, it's fear. Fear thoughts, fear feelings. In Acts chapter 10, it says the Holy Spirit fell and they spoke with tongues. Now, many years later, Paul has now done two missionary journeys, and he gets to Ephesus. He's been traveling. This is years later. He gets there, and he gets to Ephesus, and another fellow has been through preaching the gospel that forgives sins, that you need to be baptized under repentance. Now, who do we know who preached that? John the Baptist. They'd come through. And they'd preached about Jesus, but it was a baptism under the repentance of sins. And the people believed. The Holy Spirit convicted their hearts. They put their faith in Christ. They believed. And they were baptized in water. And Paul gets to Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. And he asks them this question. He says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you have believed? Verse 6, and when they said, we haven't even heard that there be a Holy Spirit. So in chapter 19, verse 6, it says, and he laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. So we see in the story of the beginning of the church, with the Jews, with the Gentiles, and with the far peoples in Asia, that there was something resiliently wonderful about this idea of putting faith in Jesus Christ and being transformed in our heart, along with this idea that not only does the Holy Spirit come to birth you into the kingdom, not only does He come to forgive you of your sins, but you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, frequently, if not most of the time, you're going to receive the empowerment and the ability to speak with other tongues according to the unction of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you used the word unction this week? What in the world are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about the stirring, the moving within you of something that's not you but is a part of you, the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself living in you because you've been saved, to stir you. And He stirs and He stirs and up out of you, and you start to speak in a language you've never learned. Now, let me get theological for just a second. This is called, in the linguistics, this is called, speaking in tongues is called glossolalia. What a big word. I never did learn to spell it. It means diversity of tongues. It can be an angelic language. It can be a variety of human languages, or it can be a language known only to God. There have been many studies. You can imagine when the Pentecostals came along in the 1900s, all of the traditional churches and the theologians were thinking they were emotional fanatics, and they were crazy, and they there is actually documentation where people wrote that people speaking tongues are mentally ill. You can find that documentation in the 30s, 40s, and 50s of the last century. It was very it was a consternation thing, and I'm telling you, it comes back to a control issue. At the end of the day, it comes back to, am I going to yield to God and obey God? Am I going to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in me, or am I not? At the end of the day, after you've done all the talk, that's what it comes down to. And so many things were written. In my educational process, I've read all kind of books. I've read all kind of people's statements. But it's very fascinating that there is no question the science, you know, all the humanistic reasoning science stuff is in now. The research has been done. Speaking in tongues is real. And as a matter of fact, you might as well know this, there is a counterfeit out there, and there are people who speak in tongues in other religious groups around the world, but it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a facsimile. You ever get a fax? You ever had a fax? Isn't it obvious that a fax is not the real? Yes? Anytime the devil has never created anything, he can only copy what God's doing, and his copy never looks like the original. Okay? So if you say, well, it's just the Christians who are spirit-filled that speak in tongues, you'll find around the globe there are other people who have ecstatic tongues, and they do kinds of things. Sometimes they do it with drugs, and sometimes they do it with other substances, and sometimes it's just a fervent religious experience. But it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a facsimile. It's a copy. And honestly, it's a distorted copy. But there is a reality in the book of Acts when the Lord began His church, that the Holy Spirit fell on people, and one of the things that happened when the Holy Spirit fell is they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And it was linguistics. Many people have studied it linguistically in America and Europe and other places in the world, and it is without question a documentable phenomenon. But it's a phenomenon. It's a spiritual phenomenon. How many of you know that something that's invisible doesn't mean it's not real? Well, see, we serve the invisible God. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy that our God is an invisible God. He's not a man made of. You don't make images to worship God. You don't have idols to worship God. You don't have imaginations to worship God. God is an invisible God, but He's still God. You know, the oxygen we're breathing is real stuff made out of real molecules, but we don't see it. It's not a really good parallel, but it is sort of a parallel. It is invisible to the naked eye, and yet it's real. If we didn't have any in the room, we'd all be in big trouble. God is real, yet He's an invisible God. And God works in mighty ways, in mysterious ways. But Jesus told the apostles in Mark chapter 4 that it was the will of God for us to understand how the kingdom of God works. It was the will of God for us to not be in confusion or misunderstanding. God wants you to get it. Look at somebody and say, God wants me to get it. See, sometimes we think that God is such a grand God and He's so mysterious and He's so otherworldly that we can never comprehend Him. Well, that's not true. The Holy Spirit's been given to us and been sent to us so that we can get it. As a matter of fact, the Bible says He's our teacher. He's our guide. He is the one who illuminates scriptures. He is the one who brings revelation. Holy Spirit Himself is God, and His purpose in the earth is for us to get it. I think it's important we understand that, because it's really a cop-out, church. It's really a cop-out to say, well, I still don't understand what God's up to. No, you can understand what God's up to. You may not want to understand what God's up to, but you can understand what God's up to. A lot of times we go there when we do perfectly well know what God is speaking to us about, but we don't like it. Our flesh is not comfortable with it. Our mind is not at peace with it, and we don't like it. We don't like surrender. We don't like giving up. We don't like trusting what we can't control. Many people are prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hands are laid on them, and they don't speak in tongues. Now, you know, you got to remember, I was raised a Pentecostal, and so it's been pounded into me all kinds of interesting doctrines. One of the things when you have a religious history in anything you have to be careful about is that you bring your tradition to the understanding of the Scripture. And so I try to be aware of that. But I'm telling you, most of the time when people lay hands on somebody, when an apostle of God or a man or woman of God asks for the Holy Spirit of God and they do not speak in tongues, it's not usually a God issue, it's usually a person issue. Usually. Fear, insecurity. We may be saying out of our mouths, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, but there's something on the inside that just doesn't want to surrender yet. My tongue. And what if I'm making sounds I don't understand? Will I look foolish? Will I be perceived by others as being out of control? And so what I want is what I want the Holy Spirit to fall on me and make me do some stuff. I found out God doesn't make us do much of anything. There are a few occasions in life where you will be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit and you'll find yourself doing some things you didn't know you was doing, but that's unusual. God is wanting to find some people he can work with. He really is. So there is such a thing as a baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is evidenced throughout the book of Acts over at least a 25-year period of time that we have record of it in the Scriptures. Then if you get outside the Scripture to the non-canonical historical books that started after the book of John or book of Revelation was written in 90 A.D., and you begin to read of the church fathers, you will find that the documentation is, there is a plethora of documentation about this phenomenon of being baptized in the Holy Spirit through all the church fathers. It's rather miraculous. And if you study the history of the church, you'll find that there came along a period of time where we departed from the supernatural, invisible God stuff that we couldn't control and went and bought into the intellectual reasoning, thinking about who God is more than knowing Him. I worked with a doctor one time at the City of Faith, and his comment was about a certain group of people we were praying for this patient. He said, oh yeah, that's the bunch that would rather think about God than know Him. Now, I laughed about that, and I teased about that, and made jokes about that, but the fact of the matter is most of us would rather think about God than know Him. Well, Pastor, how can you say that? Well, because knowing God changes you in a good way. It's not a bad thing. Now, your flesh may scream and holler a little bit about it, but it's really a good thing. Anytime God's talking to you about something, maybe making a change in your life, surrendering an area, adding some new things like Bible study, prayer, meditation, adding some things to your life. Anytime God's dealing with you or talking to you about those things, it is always for your advancement. Can I say that again? It is always for your advancement. Now, I never heard that. I want you to hear me say it because I never heard it when I was a kid growing up in church or when I was an adult in church. I never heard a preacher say, when the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, it's because God has got something better for you. It is for your advancement. Because when I was trained and taught and trained and taught, and many of you have been in the same place, that when the Holy Spirit's dealing with me about something, it's because of sin. Well, when I sin, He ought to be talking to me about it. But even when He's talking to me about sin, it's for my advancement. Do you understand that when you repent of sin, it doesn't fix God in any way? When you sin, it doesn't break God. So when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, it is not about us somehow kind of meeting some need in God. It's because God knows it's for our advancement. But even if it's not a sin issue, and God is asking you to serve somewhere, He's asking you to show up at outreach next Saturday, He's asking you to do some things, it's inconvenient, I don't know. Do you know what the Bible says in Acts chapter 9 about Saul of Tarsus? The Bible says When God's talking to Ananias, look, Ananias, you need to go pray for this guy, for I have shown him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And how's that for a revelatory experience? So before you think about sickness, disease, poverty, those are things that are a part of the curse. Paul's suffering was not related to the curse. Paul's suffering was related to people who didn't want to believe in God. It's called persecution. Most of us don't have to worry about persecution. We live in a pretty safe country so far. That day, I don't want to get negative, but boy, some religious freedoms seem to be eroding to me. I did see, by the way, that they're not going to court-martial people in the military for witnessing for Jesus. They changed that ruling. They got to the place where they were just going to, you know, court-martial you and kick you out if you were actually witnessing to somebody because they didn't want to offend any of the non-Christians. What is the deal with us not wanting to offend non-Christians? I don't know. Can I tell this? We may want to edit this, Kyle, before you post it. We were in a meeting. I was in a meeting with a group of a variety of ministers that are non-Pentecostal. And we were talking about, you know, every time we do community events and we were teasing about us Pentecostals. I said, listen, guys, it's always us that you've asked to compromise in these deals. I've never showed up speaking in tongues. I could, but I've never showed up speaking in tongues. I never showed up jumping around, dancing, screaming, and hollering. I could. I've never done any of those kinds of things. It is always me who surrenders my liberty for your peace. Somehow that ended the conversation. The Holy Spirit wants to fall at Life Changer. Okay, I'm preaching this stuff because I'm expecting a move of God in this house. I'm asking God for a supernatural infusion of Himself. Not just His power. I don't want God's power apart from God Himself. I want God Himself to be poured out on us. I want us to have enough courage and enough chutzpah to yield to Him and let Him do among us whatever He wants to do. And to surrender our pride and to surrender our agendas and to surrender our idea about what that's supposed to look like. I can't even tell you how many prophets. I can't even run into a prophet. If he's got any spirit in him at all, he's going to look at me and say, man, when I get around you, I just feel like God's doing something in your church. And it's not, but you know what? It's not what you expect. It's going to be different. So you better be watching out. You be on your guard. Don't you miss it because God is about to pour out something. Well, let me tell you what He's going to pour out. I know what He's going to pour out. Himself. Himself. I don't want the power of God apart from Him. When I have Him, I have everything that He has. I have access to everything He knows. I have access to everything. I have access to everything that He is. All that He is and all that He's ever going to be and all that He wants to do is at our disposal because He is in our midst. That's what I'm praying for. Night I was praying. Mother's Day would be a good day, God. We gather to pray on Saturday nights. You wonder what we're praying for. I'm praying for that. God, come mess with us. God, come mess up our brain. Touch us in a way we can't even think about it. But we can't gainsay it either. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. It seems in the book of Acts, there is a connection between unity and one accord with that infusion of Himself. I want you to be in agreement with me with a desire for Himself to come among us to invade us and to challenge us and to stir us and to do whatever he wants to do in us, to us, through us, I want to challenge you to be in agreement with me. Yes, Lord. And pray that prayer. Lord, I don't care what it looks like. Lord, I surrender. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, Lord, use me. Lord, I need you. See, I don't think we understand the reality of the presence of God. I really don't. I think that in many ways, it's far greater than we've ever experienced. We are a generation of people who need a move of God. We are a nation of people who need an unmistakable, unarguable outpouring, falling of the Holy Spirit of God. We are a generation that needs that. See, at these outreaches, you see, I expect people to be healed. At these outreaches, I expect people to meet God. I expect them kids to bounce in inflatables and eat hot dogs and play games and fly kites and do all that's fine. But all of that is for this. That venue provides the occasion for the invisible God to manifest himself through his body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in powerful, demonstrable ways. We're not doing this just to go down there and have fun and find some way to waste 3 or 4 hours on a Saturday. I got stuff to do, don't you? We're not doing it. We're doing it for people to meet God. And not to say a prayer and jump through a hoop. Yeah, it's fine to say the prayer, and there's some hoops that need to be jumped through. But it's not hard to jump through the hoop when you have met the living God. When you look into, when a person looks into Peggy's eyes and they see the fire of God. When they look into Jumper's eyes and they see the passion of Jesus. When they look into Craig's eyes and they see not just the busyness of making the thing happen, but a compassion for the pain of their soul. God in you. Come, Holy Spirit. Chris, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we at Life Changer, we need you to fill us. You know, the question is, am I ready to let God be God? I've heard Sister Helen say it over the years many times. Are we ready to let God be God? Are we ready to let God be God? Are we ready to allow him to disturb our routine? Are we ready to allow him to challenge us on our priorities? Are we ready to allow him a place in our life we've never allowed him to go? Are you ready to let him into that dark room you've never turned the light, you hadn't turned the light on in the last 20 years? That you're trying to protect it because you know you'd be embarrassed and you don't think God would like it either. You know, I think God has the right to go anywhere he wants to. I'm his kid. And while I know our roles change, mothers, look at your Mother's Day point here. I know our roles change as our children get older. As you grow in Christ, God becomes greater. But he never changes being your daddy. He never changes being your heavenly father. He never changes in his love for you. He never, 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 never changes. You cannot do anything that can change the nature of God. You can limit what God can do with you, but you can't change God. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want this church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's what I want to do this morning. I'd like all of you to join me up here. We may pray for some individuals, I don't know. But if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Well, Pastor, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 27. If you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, you know, I was baptized. Well, if you would like to be filled with the Holy, if you're willing to let the Holy Spirit fill you with Himself, would you stand and join me in the altars? And I'd like to have every person in the church come and stand here with me. And we're just going to pray a simple little prayer and say, Lord, come fill us. And mean it. Best we can. God knows us, you guys. He knows our frailty. He knows our inadequacies. He knows us. He is not surprised by any of our stubbornness. I'm not standing here saying, Lord, I'm perfect, I'm ready, I'm just absolutely the best pastor in this town to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying anything stupid like that. I know better. But I want to be available to be a pastor who's willing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to pastor a church that wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want us as a congregation to be a people of God that are surprised by the presence of God in our own lives. Are y'all ready? All right, unity is important, so touch somebody. Grab their hand. You know? Look them in the eyeball and say, are you in agreement? And if you're not, just say, I'm trying. I'm trying. I thank God you give him an inch, he'll take 3 yards. You know, we surrender our hearts. All right. Today, Lord, Life Changer Church on this Mother's Day in 2013. Lord, we mark this day as a day where we as a congregation say this prayer to you. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Let's say it again. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we repent for anything that would hinder that, both individually and corporately. If you'll point it out, I'll repent. And I'll depart from it. So, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill this church with your Spirit. Fill our children. Fill the youth. Every leader. Most of all, fill Pastor Ted. So he can lead us. And I say, as your pastor, Lord, fill Life Changer with the Holy Spirit. Now lift up your voices to the Lord and just worship Him a little bit. Lord, we bless your name. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We bless you. We say, Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of the living God. Fill us, O Lord. Fill us, O Lord. Fill us, O Lord. Lord, we will not resist you. We will not resist you, Lord. We are hungry for you. We are hungry for you, O God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Just however you pray. You don't have to do it like I do. You don't have to do it like David Estes or Craig or Steve Thomason or Travis or any of the other guys or any of the women. You don't have to do it like Sister Helen. You don't have to do it like Patty Buckner. You don't have to do it like my wife. Just talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, I hear the call, and I ask you to fill me up today. Lord, take over my life. Lord, empower me. Make me a blessing to people. Give me your wisdom. Let your word flow through me. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Fill me up. Lord, I don't even know what to say, but whatever Pastor said, I'm saying, yeah, me too. Yes, Lord. 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 Fill me up, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Sing to us, Chris. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just wait on him for a minute here. We got time. You're going to get to lunch on time. Don't worry about it. Don't let that, we rebuke that lunch spirit. Jesus' name.
Lord,
come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we worship you today. We worship you today. We worship you today. Lord, feel life changing. Lord, we stand before you today and say, Lord, we gathered in this one place and one accord today. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you do. But we want more. We want more, Lord. 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 We want more, Lord.
We want more, Lord. You are our strength.
I'm going to give the benediction. When I do, the altar ministers are going to hang around up front if you've come with a prayer need today. You find one of them. Some of you may have noticed the new badges we're wearing. There'll be more and more people wearing these things. We feel like the Lord wants us to, for you to be able to know, particularly as the church increases, for you to know who's who and who what to do. So altar ministers, you just hang up at the altar, and if people need prayer, they can find you. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, church, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of the Father, the mercy of God, be your portion on this Mother's Day. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit. May you speak with tongues. May you prophesy. May you do mighty exploits for God because you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit. May you be courageous. May you be outspoken. May you be kind. May you be gentle. But may you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Flowers will be in the foyer. They're already out there, I think.